Gonna rise up and take what's there. 'Cause finally the tables are starting to turn. Welcome. It's nice to have you here. I'm so glad you could come. This is going to be such an exciting day. I hope you enjoy it. I think you will.
This week in Radical History for the week starting February 23rd.
Little surprises around every corner, but nothing dangerous.
There is something going on in the ether.
The kids are now moving back into the street.
For every Martin they cut down, there must be 100 Martins to step into his shoes. Hey, hey!
This week in Radical History on February 23rd in 1971, Lieutenant William Calley confesses he directed the Max execution of South Vietnamese civilians at My Lai, and implicates his commanding officer, Captain Ernest Medina, who he says issued the orders to murder. Both are dandies of the right-wingers who support their illegal activities. By the way, the initial investigating officer of the My Lai massacre who started the cover-up was then First Lieutenant Colin Powell of the Bush administration fame. Also more news on February 23rd for 1981. The White Papers on El Salvador issued by the State Department defending U.S. intervention and secret intervention and support of right-wing militia takeover of the government. One of the many atrocities the U.S. supported was death squads. The most infamous of them was the assassination of Catholic Bishop Oscar Romero, who was shot during a mass, a month after publicly asking U.S. government to stop military aid to El Salvadorian government. Also at his funeral, the government military bombers and snipers massacred 42 mourners.
The U.S. government has done some bad things over the years and will almost certainly continue to do them in the years ahead. Foreign policy has very little to do with morality. And as long as any action can be justified by explaining that it was performed in the national interest, that will continue to be the case. And so we give support to repressive governments in South Korea and Brazil and Chile because it is in our national interest to do so.
More illegal American interest in 1989. Lieutenant Colonel Ollie North is on trial for illegally selling weapons to Iran so that unlimited funds would still be available for the CIA's illegal and undeclared war against Nicaragua. Today, federal prosecutor Walsh agrees to drop the conspiracy charges against North. Though eventually found guilty of the cover-up, President Bush Sr. would give Ollie a Christmas pardon. Merry Christmas, Ollie North. Thanks for violating the Constitution for us.
We will supply sophisticated weapons to backward countries and betray an entire people like the Kurds, all because it is in our national interest. What may be difficult to accept is that there's nothing new about that. In fact, it's what we hire our Secretary of State and our Foreign Service to do for us. The myth is that since the First World War, we were ever able to conduct our foreign policy any other way. The United States is a superpower with enormous and divergent interests that it is committed to protect. And at best it is naive, at worst hypocritical, that they don't understand what's involved in that harsh reality. I'm Ted Koppel in New York. Enjoy the rest of the weekend.
This week in Radical History for February 24th, 1899, more of the same in Nicaragua. U.S. Marines begin fighting in the Blue Fields and mine its harbor, all to protect American interests. Also on February 24th, 1912, labor activist Elizabeth Flynn heads the Bread and Roses Lawrence textile strike of 20,000 women. Later today, police would attack 150 children and their parents at the town railroad station to suppress the strike. Also on February 24th, 1968, Pete Seeger, blacklisted for years on network television, is finally allowed to sing his previously censored Waist Deep in the Big Muddy on the Smother Brothers Comedy Hour. The Smother Brothers show itself would eventually get axed, despite its high ratings, as corporate sponsors threatened to cancel network contracts because of the controversial acts the Smother Brothers allow on their show.
Well, I'm not going to point any moral, I'll leave that for yourself. Maybe you're still walking, you're still talking, you'd like to keep your health. But every time I read the paper, them old feelings come on. We're waist deep in the big muddy, the big fool says to push on. Waist deep in the big muddy, the big fool says to push on. Waist deep in the big muddy, the big fool says to push on. Waist deep, neck deep, soon even a tall man will be over his head. We're waist deep in the big muddy, the big fool says to push on.
This Week in Radical History for February 25th, 1860, about 100 Wyatt Indian men, women, and children were massacred during the World Renewal Ceremony. The massacre was carried out by white immigrants who had just settled in the area since 1850 as part of the California Gold Rush. The massacre was particularly grisly because the men who paddled to the island used hatchets, axes, and clubs to murder the victims. They purposefully avoided using their guns so that local residents in nearby town would not hear the slaughter. A little bit of Wisconsin news on February 25, 1902. The mill manager of Whiting Paper Company in Plover, Wisconsin, discharges a shipping clerk who is trying to organize workers in the plant. His outraged co-workers held a protest rally and demanded the company to reinstate the clerk. When nothing happened, 25 union men shut down the plant and walked out, followed by about 20 women employed in the finishing room. By April, strikes disrupted plants up and down the Wisconsin River Valley. The American Federation of Labor and the Wisconsin State Federation of Labor sent support, but companies stood firm and by the end of April defeated the strikers. Well, lately the Washington Post has been in the news, and also in 1908 on this date, the Washington Post proposes that all anarchists be put to death, whether culpable or not, of any crime or offense. Also on February 25, 1913, the Patterson Silk Strike begins, involving over 20,000 workers. It would last for 6 months. Also on February 25, 1918, newspaper report that government charged Emma Goldman and Alexander Berkman for working as German spies in foreign countries. Those charges, of course, would be later dismissed. 1 year later, Go Ahead, a circular attributed to American anarchists, appears throughout New England. In it, American anarchists threaten to dynamite officials in retaliation for the ongoing deportation and repression of anarchists are enduring. When pushed, often people push back. In related news on this date in 1920, anarchists Roberto Alia and Andrea Salzdito are taken into custody by the Department of Justice without warrant or being arrested. They're held and beaten for 8 weeks and not allowed to contact family, friends, or lawyers, in an effort to get them informed on fellow anarchists. Attorney General Palmer's raid of terror was going full stream against immigrant radicals. To Palmer and his zealous band of immigrant pursuers, they were on a mission to rid the country of Red Satans, or anarchists who seemed bent on dismantling America's free enterprise system. A couple more items for February 25, 1964. 172,000 students boycott Chicago schools to protest segregation. Also on that date in 1970, Vista Vista, California, Bank of America burns, and riots break out to protest the Chicago 7 guilty verdicts, which ends with a lot of Bank of America buildings in flames. Part of a nationwide upheaval against the verdicts came down on the 19th, with 500,000 people in the streets, and explosions in 3 office buildings in New York, as well as more attacks in California, Washington, Maryland, and Michigan. Also on that date in 1993 in India, 60,000 preemptively arrested to prevent a demonstration against the ruling government. Last on this date in 1994, Israel, Jewish settler opens fire, kills 29 Palestinians praying in the mosque in Hebron. Oddly, Israeli government does not rush in and declare martial law and bulldoze Jewish homes in response. Barak Goldman, an American Orthodox Israel doctor who murdered 29 Arabs with automatic weapons, was proclaimed by some Jews to be a Kadash, meaning holy. This Week in Radical History for February 26th, 1932, the man in black, Johnny Cash, is born. Jamie Lee Jackson on this date, February 26, 1965, was a young, unarmed, civil rights protester who was shot by an Alabama state trooper. Jackson's death was among the many abuses of African Americans had to endure, and the Selma and Montgomery marches would spring up around them as important events in the American civil rights movement. Also on this date, 1974, Henry Ford, an anti-Semite, Nazi sympathizer, was revealed in a Senate report that Ford made tons of money on both sides of Axis and Allies of the war. It's the American way, after all, free market economics, etc. His profits from the Nazis still circulate in U.S. government politics to this day. Yeah, let's bail them all out. Have you driven your Ford lately?
This is your Radio World reporter, Hannah George. On this day, February 26, in 1976, the dead body of Anna Mae Pitzel Aquash was found. Anna Mae was a prominent member of the American Indian Movement. It is generally believed that she was executed by other AIM members who were convinced that she was an informant for the FBI. One thing is certain, the murder of Anna Mae Aquash was a direct result of the tactics used by the FBI's counterintelligence program, which regularly used disinformation and lies to plant suspicions and divide the American Indian Movement. Using these tactics, the FBI wiped out many amazing revolutionaries through murder and imprisonment. Yeah, I said it. This is your free speech educator reminding you, never let the past slip away. Say it, say it, say it. On this day, February 27th in 1880, writer and poet Angelina Weld Grimke was born to a white mother and a black father. Due to racial tensions, Grimke's mother left the family, and from the time that Angelina was 7 years old, she was raised by her father and his family in Boston. Throughout her life, Angelina Grimke published many literary pieces, from poetry to short stories. A lot of Grimke's work was based on her experience as a biracial woman in America, and also on the isolation she felt as a lesbian woman in the late 1800s. On this day, February 28th in 1525, the last Aztec emperor, Cuauhtémoc, was assassinated. When Cuauhtémoc came to power 5 years earlier, the Spanish had already begun their conquest of the Americas. The Aztec Empire fought the Spanish off for as long as they could, but in 1521, Emperor Cuauhtémoc was forced to surrender to Hernán Cortés. 4 years later, Cortés took Cuauhtémoc to Honduras, where he ordered him to be hung. Spanish colonization of the Americas continued, and the indigenous people, once conquered, were often exploited and murdered. Yeah, I said it. This is your free speech educator reminding you, never let the past slip away.
Also on February 28, 1861, six of 44 chiefs in the Southern Cheyenne and Arapaho signed a treaty with Fort Wise, agreeing to cede their lands and live on a small reservation in southwest Colorado. The U.S. Commissioner of Indian Affairs issues medals, blankets, sugars, and tobacco. Ah, six of the 44 chiefs, good enough. Also on this date in 1977, more Native American news as the American government seized the Black Hills from the Lakota Sioux in violation of a treaty they signed years earlier. Now, what a surprise.
Badges. We ain't got no badges. We don't need no badges. I don't have to show you any stinking badges.
A couple more items. 1933 in Germany. Following yesterday's burning of the Berlin Reichstag, torched by the Nazis, the propaganda arm blames the anarchists and unionists to rally their people. You say Reichstag, I say Pearl Harbor, I say WMD, you say 9/11, I say JFK, you say... Lastly, in a state in 1986, though the comments were on tape, acting President Reagan denies he called the reporter sons of a bitches. The presidential mouthpiece, Larry Speaks, claimed Reagan said, "It's sunny, and you're rich." This week in Radical History for March 1st, the last one for this week, 1790. The first census count that includes slaves and free blacks. Native Americans? Don't include them. Also March 1st, 1875, Congress gives African Americans the right to serve on juries in the wake of the Civil War. Black men were briefly able to vote and hold elected offices until Jim Crow laws came into play about a year later. Also March 1st, 1906, Emma Goldman publishes the first anarchist paper called Mother Earth. Also on this date in 1921 in Russia, 15,000 mutiny at Kronstadt against Marxist tyranny. From March 1st to March 17th, the old Bolshevik stronghold of Kronstadt rises, demanding free elections to adopt a 15-point program of political and economic demands, a program in open defiance of the Bolshevik Party control of the Soviet state. Almost immediately, the Bolsheviks denounced the uprising as a White Guard plot of counter-revolutionary conspirators. Less than 3 weeks later, on March 17, Kronstadt was subdued by a bloody assault by the select Red Army units. The Kronstadt uprising, to all appearances, had little more to do with passing an episode of bitter history of civil war. We can now say, however, that the Kronstadt uprising marked the end of the Russian Revolution itself. Lastly, on this date, 1971, the Weathermen Underground bombs U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C. in retaliation for the decision for America to invade Laos. Here's part of the Weathermen Underground Communique No. 5.
We did not choose to live in a time of war. We chose only to become guerrillas and to urge our people to prepare for war rather than become accomplices in the genocide of our sisters and brothers. We learned from American history about policies of extermination of an entire people and their magnificent cultures, the Indians, the blacks, the Vietnamese. We are making plans to resist with all of our creativity. Students and hippies who now hear peace talk from the white man must remember how talk of peace was used against the Indians and preached to the blacks. Today, many student leaders have cut their hair and called for peace. They say young people shouldn't provoke the government, and they receive in return promises of peaceful change. Promises of peace from a government that bombs Cambodia while talking about an end to war, that killed students at Jackson and Kent while calling for responsibility on campus, that murdered Fred Hampton and hundreds of blacks while calling for racial harmony. Remember that American pigs have already dropped more bombs on a piece of land about the size of Florida than the entire tonnage dropped during World War II. Don't be tricked by talk. Arm yourselves and shoot to live. We are building a culture and a society that can resist genocide. It is a culture of total resistance to mind-controlling maniacs, a culture of high-energy sisters getting it on, of hippie acid smiles and communes and freedom to be the farthest out people we can be.
It all began when they took me from my home and put me on death row, a crime for which I'm totally innocent, you know. I began to warm and chill to objects and their fields, a ragged cup, a twisted mop, the face of Jesus in my soup, those sinister dinner deals, the meal trolley's wicked wheels, a hook bone rising from my food, and all things either good or ungood. And the mercy seat is waiting, and I think my head is burning, and in a way I'm yearning to be done with all this weighing of the truth. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and anyway I told the truth, and I'm not afraid to die.
Since this week is the birthday of the man in black, Johnny Cash, we're ending this week with his nod toward the electric chair, the Mercy Seat song. This Week in Radical History is produced at the Mobile Fortress of Glee Glee Studios. We've used some audio from the Radio Roots crew at WBAI for this week's show, and we thank them for their awesome work. Now back to this awesome song. However, never forget and always remember, I am forever yours in the struggle, Mike Cannon.
My kill hand's tattooed evil across its brother's fist. That filthy five, they did nothing to challenge or resist. In heaven his throne is made of gold, the ark of his testament is stowed, a throne from which I'm told all history does unfold. It's made of wood and wire, and my body is on fire. And God is never far away. Into the mercy seat I climb. My head is shaved, my head is wired, and like a moth that tries to enter the bright eye, I go shuffling out of life just to hide in death a while. And anyway, I never lied. And the mercy seat is waiting, and I think my head is burning, and in a way I'm yearning to be done with all this weighing of the truth. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and anyway I told the truth, and I'm not afraid to die. And the mercy seat is burning, and I think my head is glowing, and in a way I'm hoping to be done with all this twisting of the truth. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and anyway there was no proof, and I'm not afraid to die. And the mercy seat is glowing, and I think my head is smoking, and in a way I'm hoping to be done with all these looks of disbelief. A life for a life and a truth for a truth, and I've got nothing left to lose, and I'm not afraid to die. And the mercy seat is smoking, and I think my head is melting, and in a way that's helping to be done with all this twisting of the truth. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and anyway I told the truth, but I'm afraid I told a lie.
That's it, ladies and gentlemen. The journey is over.